Well, Adriano Bossoni is a Frankfurt-based Europe analyst with the geopolitical intelligence firm Stratfor, and we sought his views about the positioning of Poland. He says it's not an exaggeration to speak of a Polish economic miracle, yet it is confronting some complex issues. Adriano Bossoni, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
First, to the regional perspective, Adriano, you echo Minister Sikorski's view that Poland's next challenge is becoming a regional leader.
Yes, exactly. I mean, Polish national strategy pivots around a single existential issue. It's how to preserve its territorial integrity and independence. Because of its location in Central Europe, Poland is surrounded by very powerful neighbors, and it's very susceptible to the moves of major European powers. For many countries, geopolitics is only a marginal issue, but for Poland, it's an existential one. So Poland has traditionally adapted its strategy to deal with the fear and desperation of its location in Central Europe. As a result, we've seen in the past 20 to 25 years that Poland has sought a unique solution that was not available previously, which is membership in multilateral organizations such as the European Union and NATO. Such memberships are meant to provide protection and bring Germany and Poland into the same political identity. But the problem that Poland is facing these days is that the European Union is currently under great stress and NATO is going through an identity crisis. If we add to this the events in Ukraine, we see why Poland is extremely worried about what's happening, because it looks to the east and sees a more assertive Russia, and then it looks to the west and sees a hesitant Germany and a hesitant European Union and NATO. This explains why Poland has announced that it will increase its spending on the military sector, why Poland is trying to develop a strong bilateral relationship with the United States, independent of what happens with NATO. And it also explains why Poland has recently sought to move closer to Romania, which is the other large actor in Central Europe.
Are you arguing that Poland could step up and take the full lead, or is that not something that it wants to do? It wants to do it in tandem with others, because it is, you know, it's not been a major strategic leader in the past, has it?
Poland sees itself as a regional leader. It sees itself as the main power in Central Europe, and it feels that it has responsibility over the Baltic states, and it's very worried about what happens in Ukraine. But as you were saying, it cannot do it alone, and this is why we are seeing Poland expanding its relationships with the members of the Visegrad Group, which also includes the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary, but particularly with Romania, which is the other large Central European actor, which has a large coast on the Black Sea, which is at the center of the conflict right now. So what we'll see in the coming years is Poland expanding its network of agreements and relationships.
Let's talk about its economy. How is it sitting economically relative to its neighbours? Its economy's doubled in the past 25 years, and it was the only EU economy to grow during the economic crisis. Does that matter? Does it change its prestige or not?
Well, as you were saying, Poland has grown significantly over the past decade, and it's safe to speak of a Polish miracle. But we need to keep in mind that this success has been mostly driven by, first, foreign direct investments, but second, because of EU cohesion funds. EU money remains a key driver of Poland's economic performance. Private and state funding is not enough to promote growth in Poland. And this is why we will see in the next years and even decades Poland struggling to evolve from a producer of semi-finished goods designed for the German market to a producer of innovation and quality products. Poland is still struggling to evolve from a middle-income country to a high-income country. And this is the main challenge that the Polish leadership will have to deal with in the coming years and even decades.
And would you say that there's a cultural shift on among Poles to sort of recognise that this is on the table or not? Because I do notice that one of the major issues that you've raised and others have too is the smart Poles who are leaving the country en masse. They struggle to, in a way, keep their loyalty as the world beckons. What makes young Poles so restless?
The thing is, since Poland joined the EU 10 years ago, young Polish have found the opportunity of moving abroad, looking for better salaries, better education systems, better life conditions. And this is why they are moving en masse to Germany, the UK, and the largest economies in Europe. This has the concrete risk of a brain drain. Poland has a very large population. It has a strong domestic sector, but it will not manage to become a high-income economy if people just keep leaving Poland. And the leadership is aware of this, and they understand that they need to improve the education system, they need to prevent emigration and brain drain, they need to do more to promote innovation at home and to help national companies to expand at home and abroad. But this will remain a very difficult goal for Poland because they also need to improve the quality of its public administration. They lack essential management knowledge. So the Poles understand that these are problems, but it will be difficult for them to address these problems.
This is a bit of an impressionistic sense I'd like from you now, but what about the feeling in its cities? Like, one of the things that often does make the young stay is whether their cities are happening places, to use a term, that there is a sense that there's creativity and possibilities, like Berlin. Now, does that exist, would you say, in Poland?
I mean, if you take a look at Warsaw today, it's much more attractive and creative than it was 15 to 20 years ago. Remember, after the Soviet bloc collapsed, Prague and Budapest were the places to be.
Yes.
And Warsaw was considered to be a grey place, a sad place with horrible weather, and, you know. But Poland is slowly trying to become more attractive. And if you go to Warsaw today, it is an attractive place. It's a very active place. You see young people going back and forth from work. You see beautiful women buying in stores. You see the magnificent Polish National Stadium at the heart of the city, some skyscrapers, art galleries. Poland is slowly trying to catch up with the other beautiful cities in Central and Eastern Europe.
And I mean, another final impressionistic sense from you. Is the tragedy left behind, the tragedy of Poland, the history that not many other countries actually have, do you sense that still or not?
Well, the thing is, one of the best things that the European Union has achieved is that it has brought peace to Europe, and it's the first time in history that Europe has gone through 60 plus years of peace. But the thing is, and as I was saying before, if you are Poland, your history and your national identity are shaped by your position in Europe. So Poland will always feel this sense of uncertainty and threat, and it will not go away. It will keep shaping the Polish national identity because it's in the geography. If we take a look at the history of Poland, unlike other countries that have been invaded or occupied, Poland has simply ceased to exist for centuries. So that has an impact on your national character. And even if we are going through a significant period of peace in Europe, at least in Central and Eastern Europe, if we exclude the former Soviet Union countries, even if we are seeing a context of peace, the Poles will always be worried about geopolitics.
It's sort of the polar opposite of the modern Australian experience. Very interesting to compare and contrast. Adriana Bosoni, thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Sure thing. Thank you.
And Adriano is a Europe analyst with Stratfor. He's based in Frankfurt, and he focuses on the European Union and the Eurozone. He's recently been travelling through Poland.